Hello, and welcome to the Kaiser Family Foundation's final 2007 discussion in the series, Today's Topics in Health Disparities. I'm Marcia Lilly Blanton, Senior Advisor on Race, Ethnicity, and Healthcare at the Foundation. For those of you who have not joined us for a prior discussion, Today's Topics is an interactive, live webcast series that addresses issues relating to disparities in health and healthcare in the U.S. The goal is to raise the level of understanding of these disparities and encourage greater dialogue about the problems and promising solutions. Today's topic, what are the current legislative efforts to address health disparities between racial and ethnic groups, focuses on legislative proposals in the current Congress that are intended to have an impact on health disparities. Now, if you've previously tuned into our show, you'll notice that our format today will be a little different. We are extremely pleased and honored to welcome to our studio Dr. David Satcher, who had completed his fourth-year term as Surgeon General of the United States in 2002 and currently is the director of the Satcher Health Leadership Institute at the Morehouse School of Medicine. He will join us for the first half hour for a one-on-one discussion on the gains achieved and the work yet to be done in eliminating health disparities. The second half of our webcast will feature a panel moderated by my colleague, Kara James, which will address current federal legislative efforts to address health disparities and factors that may influence the outcome of these efforts. You can find all of our panelists' bios on our website, as well as a link to a newly issued compendium on health disparities-focused legislation introduced in the 110th Congress. Under Dr. Satcher's leadership, the Department of Health and Human Services took the bold step of establishing a national goal of eliminating health disparities as one of two overarching goals for the U.S. to achieve by 2010. It is to Dr. Satcher's credit that we are engaged in the conversation we are having today, and I want to use this opportunity to acknowledge his role in elevating this discussion in the public's eye. The goals, which are included in a document called Healthy People 2010, include eliminating disparities between different segments of the population, between income groups, geographic areas, and gender groups. Today's discussion, however, will focus on the progress we have achieved in eliminating disparities between racial and ethnic groups. As I'm sure our audience is aware, the U.S. has seen extraordinary gains during the 20th century in the health of Americans and in new technologies available through our healthcare system. But serious gaps in health and in access to quality healthcare persist between racial and ethnic groups, whether we use the yardstick of life expectancy, deaths due to specific conditions such as heart disease or diabetes, or risk factors for poor health such as obesity. Since we have now passed the midpoint of this decade, it is more than an appropriate time to take stock of where we are along this pathway and our prospects for achieving the Healthy People 2010 goals. Before I turn to Dr. Satcher, let me remind you that we welcome your questions, so email us at todaystopics@kaisernetwork.org. Dr. Satcher, let me start with just a very general question. Why was it important for us to set national goals for eliminating health disparities?
Well, first, let me thank you, Marcia, and the Kaiser Family Foundation for this focus on health disparities. It's very important. I think it was really critical to set the goal of eliminating disparities in health. Very basic to what this country stands for, I think, is a pursuit of equality among our people. President Clinton had made that an issue. He had appointed a National Advisory Council on Race Relations. We saw that as an opportunity to really point out the fact that there were major disparities in health. And health is sort of the final common pathway of everything that we do. So we pointed out the amazing disparities that existed between races and ethnic groups in this country. And President Clinton, in February of 1998, agreed to announce an initiative on eliminating disparities in health. And then we were able to fold that into Healthy People 2010. It was critical not only because of what this country stands for, but when you think about the data, we did a study that showed that in the year 2000, if we had eliminated disparities in health in the last century, there would have been 83,500 fewer deaths among African Americans. 83,500 fewer deaths. And that includes almost 25,000 from heart disease, 22,000 from diabetes, even going and on. Even almost 5,000 African-American babies died that would not have died if we had eliminated disparities in health in the last century. So it was really critical because of what we stand for as a nation. And it's really critical because it's really a matter of life and death for so many people.
So how do you gauge the progress that we've made so far since 2000, since we set those goals?
Well, I think there's good news and a lot of bad news, of course. I think, but I always like to focus first on the good news. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've had some major efforts in the government. And certainly the legislation in the year 2000 by the 106th Congress, Minority Health and Health Disparities Research, giving rise to the National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities at NIH, mm-hmm. major development. They have funded many programs throughout the country following that legislation. CDC has implemented the REACH program, Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. So there are at least 40 to 50 communities throughout this country that are really focused on what we can do to eliminate disparities in health. I could go on about the good things that have happened in terms of process. The Institute of Medicine's report of 2002 about unequal treatment focusing on health disparities, especially in health care. And then, of course, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality now has a report annually documenting where we are with mm-hmm. disparities in health and also looking at quality of care. It's good news. Mm-hmm. It's also perhaps good news that when I came into government, 7 years separated African-Americans from whites in terms of life expectancy. In 2004, that was 5 years. So we had decreased the disparity, and we had made more progress among black men than any other group. So the bad news, of course, is that 5 years still separate African-Americans and whites when it comes to life expectancy. 29% greater risk of mortality among African Americans. That's down from 37% back in 1990. But so we're making progress, but at the same time, there are major disparities in health. We've had funding in some areas, and we've had funds taken away from other areas. We've had the funding for community health centers, major increase in the number of community health centers. At the same time, we've had a decrease in funding in Title VII. And that's where, of course, we produce the doctors and the nurses that are going to work at these community health centers.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is that there are about 195 objectives and sub-objectives included in Healthy People 2010 mm-hmm. related to race, ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And of those, there is evidence that we have only seen a decrease in disparities for 24 of the objectives. So if I've done the math correctly, then there are 171 of the objectives that we have made little progress on at all. Why can't we go further faster?
Well, because I don't think we've adequately supported the goal of eliminating disparities in health. We've not put the funding behind it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I've been very pleased with the PEPFAR program dealing with global mm-hmm. AIDS. Suppose we had launched that kind of effort to eliminate disparities in health. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though we have a National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities, you're talking about a budget at NIH of about $200 million. NIH's budget is $28 billion. Mm-hmm. And if the National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities received less than $250 million for its budget, that tells you that we've not made a serious effort. Now, it is true that there are other institutes at NIH that are focused on this, but mm-hmm. there's no documentation of a major shift in funding to support the elimination of disparities. Mm-hmm. CDC's budget is being cut, so the REACH program, it struggles, and data systems struggle because of cuts in funding. So we've not made greater progress because we have not made this the priority mm-hmm. that it's supposed to be as a goal of Healthy People 2010.
I want to come back to the discussion of what more we could do, but before mm-hmm. we leave, just how much progress we've made. If there were a goal that you think we could have made greater progress on, which one is there? I mean, is there some achievable goal that you think we could have accomplished had we really focused our time and attention and resources on?
Well, going back to that 2000 study, if we'd eliminate disparities, if African-Americans just had the same insurance coverage rate as whites, just comparing those two groups, mm-hmm. there would be almost 3 million fewer African-Americans uninsured. We could have made a decision right away to deal with the issue of the uninsured. Now, there are people who are insured who still or don't have access to quality health care. There are people on Medicaid, for example, who can't find a doctor, you know, who will treat them. There are people who live in communities where they don't have access to health care. So we have not dealt with the issue of access to health care. I think we could have completely solved that problem if we had really been serious about this.
Now, you're raising a question that in the research community is often distinguished, and that's health disparities and health care disparities.
Right.
And we understand that in the public's eye, oftentimes, the reality is their focus is on health care. What in your mind is the link between the two?
Well, I think that in our report, at the very beginning of it, we talked about determinants of health.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned four. Mm-hmm. Access to health care was one of them. Mm-hmm. Environment, social and physical environment was another one. Health behavior was another one. And then biology and genetics. So those are all determinants of health. If you're going to eliminate disparities in health, you've got to target all of those. So access to health care is important as a part of targeting disparities in health, but it is only one of the factors, and it probably accounts for less than 15% of the variation in outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 15%. Mm-hmm. And we've had more attention to that than any other area. And I'm very pleased that we've had attention to that, but at the same time, it is only one of the areas.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to deal with health behavior, and that accounts for 40 to 50% of the variation. So obesity and the increase in diabetes as a result of that, very critical issue. And that's why the legislation, the Wellness Act, requiring schools to implement physical education and good nutrition, just as critical as access to health care.
I want to come back to that, but I want to take one of the questions that came in from our viewing audience. Part of Healthy People 2010 goal was actually to set the same goal for whites and for people of color. And one of our questions is, was it realistic to expect communities of color to achieve the same health status as you see for white Americans?
Well, I think
if we set ourselves up for failure, in other words.
I think it's realistic, but maybe not realistic in the system that we live in. And that system is not only health care, but there are a lot of other components of the system that affect our health. In the context of that system, it is not realistic. It is realistic that a nation such as the United States would set a goal of eliminating disparities in health and be serious about it, which means you set the goal for both, the same goal for both groups. But then you do much more than we have done. You look at what other countries have done in terms of targeting health inequities, Sweden, and targeting the poor and making sure that they not only had complete access to quality health care, but that even in things like jobs and living conditions. So if we were serious, it would be realistic to set that goal. Now, some people confuse Healthy People 2010 with the goal is to do this by Healthy People 2010. That was not the point. The point was, as a part of the new set of goals for Healthy People 2010, one of them was elimination of disparities in health. I don't think anybody ever thought that by 2010 we would have done it. Hopefully this goal will continue, just as other goals have continued since 1980.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's realistic, but goals don't necessarily have timelines. Objectives have timelines,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you get into the reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You raised the question of social determinants of health, and I know that you've been working with the WHO Commission on Social Determinants. Has that work influenced or shaped your ideas at all about what more we should be doing to eliminate health disparities?
Most definitely. It's had a tremendous impact because I've visited a lot of countries. I've looked at what other countries are doing in terms of targeting education, targeting jobs, targeting environment, working conditions, targeting violence. So clearly, the only way we're going to ever eliminate disparities in health is really to better target social conditions that lead to ill health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gets back to your point about access to health care being one of the factors, but there are many social conditions, environmental and otherwise. We talk about human behavior, health behavior, but you know that there are people who live in communities where there's no safe place to get out and walk or jog.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there are people who live in communities where they can't find a grocery store with fresh fruits and vegetables. So social determinants of health is sort of basic to this whole discussion and certainly underlie a lot of the disparities that we're talking about.
I want to shift the conversation to what has occurred and what more could be done.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about what government is doing. I want to talk a little bit more about what the private sector is doing. You know, is this an initiative that basically we expect government alone to be the sole entity responsible?
No, I think we expect government to provide leadership, and I think that's an appropriate expectation. Mm-hmm. Many things have happened in the private sector, and the Institute of Medicine is a quasi-private institution, mm-hmm. and its report has been pivotal. But what about the work of Kaiser Family Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, mm-hmm. Aetna? Aetna has received awards for its focus on the cultural aspects of healthcare. A lot of things. The American Heart Association partnered with the Clinton Foundation to develop the Alliance for Health, focusing on obesity. Action for Healthy Kids is a private NGO focusing on working with schools throughout this country. There are many things. Just about every major foundation in the country has made the elimination of health disparities one of its major areas of focus. Mm-hmm. Probably Robert Wood Johnson Foundation leading, but certainly many others have also made that a focus of all of its work. And certainly the recent decision by Kaiser Family Foundation to really target this issue until people really get it in focus is very important.
Let's talk about the geographic mix of the country. We know that this was a conversation largely about black-white differences mm-hmm. in health, and now we are seeing a sizable growth in the Latino population, a growth in the Asian population in the U.S. The American Indian population is a population that we don't hear a lot about. You know, should we begin to target our efforts more around specific population groups or specific geographic areas? Mm-hmm. Would that make a difference?
Well, I think it's critical that we do that, and we have. I mean, I think the CDC REACH programs are located in communities that are predominantly African-American, predominantly Latino, and predominantly American Indian. So we have programs in various communities. Even the Vietnamese communities in Northern California have been targeted because of cervical cancer especially. So it's really critical that we do that. In our work in Atlanta, very interesting a discovery, looking at Georgia and some of the rural counties, looking at the risk for stroke, we found out that whites in rural counties of Georgia had as high a risk for strokes as African-Americans in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. So the rural areas have some major issues related to obesity as a risk factor and all the things associated with that. So clearly we have to focus on all of the populations that are at risk, and Latinos are a growing population in this country, and certainly much of our work focuses there too. The American Indians constitute about 1% of the population, but you look at the rate of heart disease, the rate of suicide, there are some major issues that we need to target. The rate of diabetes, mm-hmm. American Indians leading, mm-hmm. Even though African Americans have the highest death rate from diabetes. So there are various areas where we have to really focus on these different populations and the segments of the white population that are also at higher risk for certain problems.
You've used the term REACH several times, and uh-huh. I need to ask you, what does that mean? So for those people who don't know what REACH is.
Well, REACH is the CDC program, Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. Mm-hmm. I'm really fascinated by it because I think of everything that we've done, it's sort of different in the sense that it empowers communities. Mm-hmm. The decision was that the communities will receive the grant. They will negotiate with academic health centers and others to provide technical support. And it's amazing what's happened with the leadership of communities. Mm-hmm. And I think we ought to take a real close look at REACH and what it teaches us about empowering communities.
Now, we talked about the private sector. Let's talk about government. We now have had an Office of Minority Health for at least since the Heckler's report in 1985. We have newly established a National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities. And you mentioned the fact that congressionally mandated we have a National Healthcare Disparities Report. At least on the government appearance, there is a focal point of activity mm-hmm. and some resources devoted to the problem. What more could we be doing?
Well, it sort of dates me as you sort of give this history. I was one of the three people, along with Dr. Sullivan and Haynes, who met with Secretary Heckler, I believe, in 1983 or 84. And that, you know, Secretary Heckler listened and acted mm-hmm. and came up with the report on the excess deaths. So it's been a long history of struggle. I think the Office of Minority Health is very important mm-hmm. at the Department of Health and Human Services. There are offices at NIH and CDC. But I think the one at the departmental level coordinates things across the department. And I don't think it's adequately funded. Let me say that. I don't think it's ever been adequately funded. So we keep getting back to the fact that these are very important efforts. But are we serious when we don't fund them? And I think that's my biggest concern with the Office of Minority Health. I don't think it's been adequately empowered to do its job. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're serious about eliminating disparities in health, if we're serious about improving the health of minorities, then we would adequately fund these programs. Mm-hmm. And we're nowhere close to adequate.
So we've talked about the federal level. Let's talk about state and local levels. There's some discussion about whether we need offices of minority health in state offices. And I do know that the federal office has been working to do that. Would that make a bigger impact at the point of service delivery, at the point where communities know their populations?
No, I mean, I think we ought to organize public health programs at the federal, state, and local level. Mm-hmm. That's the model that's worked, when you talk about immunizations or any other major public health effort. So I think serious public health efforts are organized from the federal to the state to the local. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the funds flow in that direction. Sometimes they flow in both directions, mm-hmm. like Medicaid, mm-hmm. Where there's a partnership between federal and state. So a serious effort to eliminate disparities in health would involve the state level very effectively. And some states, as you know, have in fact developed Office of Minority Health. Mm-hmm.
Before we transition to our next panel, I just mm-hmm. want to ask you about some of the federal legislative efforts that are being proposed now in the Congress. What are your thoughts about them? Will they make a difference?
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, now the Kennedy-Cochran bill is the one that we're watching. It's the Minority Health and Health Disparities Research and Education. Mm-hmm. And that bill, of course, back in the 106th Congress, created the National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities mm-hmm. At the NIH. And empowered the Office of Minority Health more than it had been in this area. So let me say that currently that bill is up for reauthorization. It's a critical legislation. I believe Kennedy and Cochran are sponsoring it. It has several features. It has issues related to diversity in health professions and really challenging institutions to increase their output of minority health professionals. It has the whole issue of culture and language, mm-hmm. Targeting some of the problems of Latinos and other populations that have difficulty finding people who understand their language or their culture. It also includes Title VII, which is really critical. Title VII is the title that includes Health Careers Opportunity Program, Centers of Excellence, and those programs, and just health professional education for primary care. Those programs have been cut in recent years, mm-hmm. and my hope is that Congress will increase the funding in those areas if we're serious about eliminating disparities in health.
We have one more question that came in from the audience that I want to ask you before we leave. There is some concern when the first National Healthcare Disparities Report was issued in 2003 that the department was not accurate in presenting the information. And one of our questions is, how can we be certain that we aren't getting inaccurate, or actually the term in the email is used, sham information on the progress we're achieving?
Well, I think at first we need to adequately fund, and I continue to return to that, but if we're cutting programs that are responsible for generating data, if we're cutting the programs at CDC that have the responsibility for generating this data for us that will tell us what we're doing with disparities, then I think it's highly likely that we will get inaccurate information. It's not easy in the first place to do this kind of research, this kind of surveillance. So if anything, I think we should be strengthening those programs. But instead, I think we are seeing those programs cut. So data systems that are so critical to monitoring disparities in health need to be adequately supported. We need our best minds engaged in that area.
Well, before we close this half of the show, I'd like to thank Dr. Satcher for joining us today. As always, your insights have helped to deepen our understanding of the challenges and the opportunities we are facing in this nation. I'd like to remind our audience that we will return for the second half of the panel in about a minute. If you have questions on federal legislative efforts to address disparities, there is still time to submit your questions by email to todaystopics@kaisernetwork.org.